Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, friends. We'll see about that. Mike Gary with the champion, legend, World Series MVP Ron Say. He'll be along shortly, and I'm joined by producer Corey. Corey, how are you?
Doing well. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. How was your New Year's?
It was good. It was nice. It was relaxing. There was some football on in the background, and then my girlfriend was at work and then came home. We watched the ball drop and went to sleep.
Very nice. I was in bed by 11:59:59, and that's how it goes these days. And so a lot of college football to talk about. We have to talk about the Oregon Ducks crushed in the Rose Bowl by Ohio State. It wasn't even a game.
No, they looked totally outmatched the whole game, and they looked like they were just didn't want to play or have any heart.
It seems you're totally right. I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions against these kids, but they just were a step slow. They seemed lethargic. They seemed just hesitant. Well, Ohio State came out and just smashed them in the mouth, both on offense and on defense. Now we're seeing the majority of these teams with the higher seedings who had byes lose.
Yeah.
Do you think that affects them, having that long layoff, you know, your college kids, you're running around Christmas time, all that?
I think especially with the college kids, they might go home or go back and see a bunch of friends, and you're not working out as much, you're not studying the game as much, and you're probably drinking.
Hanging out with those shiftless friends, your high school buddies.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, some of them didn't go to college. We know the type.
Yes.
And that was just a very, very sad state of affairs. I feel bad for the Oregon faithful, the Oregon fans. Let's talk a little NFL here, Corey. Our Broncos, we're both Broncos fans. They got a huge game coming this weekend against the Chiefs, and there's some news on quarterback play.
Yeah, so Patrick Mahomes will, because they won the number one seed and get the first round bye, Patrick Mahomes will not be playing, and Carson Wentz will be.
Speaking of buys, and speaking of locking up playoffs early, we have Saquon Barkley, who is on the verge of an historic record of yards rushing per season, and he has, his coach, that is, has decided to sit him on the bench.
Sit him on the bench. He only had to do 105 yards, and I don't like that. I would have let him play, because if you don't win the Super Bowl, now you took your way of having a record, and you don't win the Super Bowl, so you get nothing.
Like when the hated and vile Patriots went undefeated and lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was a great day.
That was a great day.
I love that. But everything I know about Saquon Barkley is like he's like a team first guy. He's caught on the sideline saying like let the young guys eat when he was, having a huge game. So maybe it was his decision. Maybe it was the coach's decision. Maybe he's doing it for the benefit of the team. So, either way, shout out to him. So
shout out to him. And they should be able to go far in the playoffs.
I hope so, too. So go Broncos, though.
Go Broncos.
All right. We'll be right back, you guys, with Ron Say. Stay tuned. We're going to talk to our friend Brad Krieger, who's got some financial advice for you for the coming new year. Stay with us.
And we're going to take a walk over here to the Financial Coach's Corner now with Brad Krieger. And Brad, Happy New Year, and what's going on this week?
Hey, thank you. Happy New Year to you, Ron.
Thank you.
I'm sure you got a fun story from your New Year's Eve, as do most people. It's interesting that you guys cover, you always are uncovering and pulling out or drawing out really good stories from your guests. And what's interesting is that really, stories do drive our world, if you will. I mean, it's what draws people in. It's what gets people's attention. The stories behind the scenes in sports. You know what's going on with the athletes, and it's not just the competition, but it's what's going on in their personal lives, which makes those games even more interesting and exciting. And stories also drive our financial markets. And what are some of those stories that are driving our financial markets for the new year? You've got AI, You've got the new Trump administration coming in. We talked about last week tariffs and oil and energy prices. The stories drive the markets. And what people believe to be a good story means that, hey, you tend to have a good positive outlook. When we are a little unsure about the story, think recently in the last few years, when they're unsure about what the story is or what's going to happen, we have market instability. Think COVID. We didn't really know what was going on then. Think when the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates a couple of years ago, markets didn't like that. So it's interesting that the stories and what we believe will be those outcomes. Is it going to be a good outcome or are we unsure? And then you see a little, you know, the markets behave accordingly. So generally speaking, the story is that Trump may be good for the economy here in the United States. Those tariffs may not be so good for other countries. And so it'll remain to be seen, will the U.S. markets remain strong as they are, and will international markets struggle or continue to struggle a bit? We'll see. It's interesting, but stories do drive the markets. And you got any really good story you want to share here right in the last few seconds, Ron?
Well, I just hope we all have good stories to tell as this New Year's starts off in the next week or so. But I'm hopeful to have some new stories as well.
All right. Well, hey, good. Hey, all happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you. All right. That's it from Brad Kreger. We'll see about that right after this.
They still call me the Penguin.
And welcome back to We'll See About That. And today we are joined by a very special guest who's done incredible work at the City of Hope for many years. He's a hematologist, oncologist, top doctor for leukemia, lymphoma, and bone marrow transportation, Dr. Stephen Forman. Stephen, Dr. Steve, welcome to the show. I hope you're doing well.
So, Ron, thank you. Yeah, I'm doing well. We're continuing to do good work out here, and it's really an honor for me to be on your show. So thank you for having me today.
And how long has it been now that you've been out at the City of Hope?
So I actually came to the City of Hope in the late 1970s to help start the bone marrow transplantation program. And then it grew from there. We were one of the first six transplant programs in the United States. We're currently the largest one in the United States. And, you know, we see people from all over who need this therapy for treatment of their disease of the bone marrow or the blood or their immune system. As I say, it grew from something very small to something very big. And our results are really very, very good. And I think very reassuring to patients who come to us for that sort of therapy.
So how does this translate into doing clinical trials?
So, as you know, the City of Hope is one of the cancer hospitals designated by the National Cancer Institute, a designation we've had for a number of years. So people come here for two reasons. They come here because we want to give them the care we think they're entitled to. It can be very disruptive to a life and a family and a workplace community when somebody is sick like this. So there's a certain way we want to care for them to either restore or preserve their dignity as they go through all this. But at the same time, they come to us because they want access to our ideas. And that translates into trials, which are our best ideas that we're testing to see if we can improve upon the results for whatever diagnosis that represents. I've told people for a long time that, you know, there's no result we have that can't be improved or shouldn't be improved. We can't rest on our laurels. And then somebody's waiting to come see us the next day. So we care for them and we try our newest ideas to see whether we can improve the chances for either not just living longer, but hopefully cure in a lot of instances. So that's the two responsibilities that I think we as a staff at City of Hope have for people who come here.
It's a fantastic organization, the City of Hope, not only curing the body, but also the soul as well. Let's talk a little bit briefly about some of your background, Doctor. How did one who had a philosophy degree from St. John's College decide to enter medicine?
Well, it's a, you know, I haven't been asked this question so before, but the I remember when I was thinking about this at the end of college about, you know, pursuing sort of a ivory tower sort of job, but there was this draw to be part of the challenges that everyday people face in their life, and health is certainly that, for whether you're old or young. So it was really a draw to be part of helping make the world better, I would say, and through healthcare. My interest in cancer, like for many people, was both personal and non-personal. I had seen what it had done to people and people's lives. It also was something that a lot of doctors weren't comfortable doing, taking care of somebody who was suffering from cancer. So that was an additional challenge. So for me, in a lot of ways, I found oncology to be, if you will, the most existential of the medical subspecialties, because you had to literally confront those important questions that we have about ourselves, our lives, our families, our friends, our communities. So all that wrapped together, combined with a commitment, I would say, to try to find better ways, it really is what sort of shaped the career that I've had in oncology. And I suspect I'm not alone in that in that journey. And I have been proud to be part of this venture for many years.
Your motivation and influences, did you have somebody young in your life? Was there something that spurred you to say, I believe I'm headed towards a career in medicine?
So I grew up in Texas, in the Houston-Galveston area, and had an uncle who was a physician, and I watched how he worked. It was from the day when they carried a black bag and made house calls, and when I would be with him or even live with him for part of the year, I would see what it was like for him to care for people in such a personal way. And I think that in many ways set a standard for what I wanted. He was part of the community, and he did his part to help that community. A number of years ago, probably 25, I stopped wearing a white coat when I went to see patients, because I thought it was a barrier, an artificial barrier between me and the patient. And so I think it's helped in sort of being able to talk with people and get to know them, let them be less afraid, more open, and at the same time, let me be more open with them. So I think those were early influences that I still think about even to this day.
That is a practice, I think, that, you always hear, I've heard people in the past saying, he doesn't have a great bedside manner. I think it takes a while to develop that, doesn't it? I mean, you really kind of have to go through and put yourself in a place where you're constantly trying to get better at making these people feel more comfortable. Because they're not feeling too good about this anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you said, Ron. I think taking off the white coat, I mean, we've all heard about white coat syndrome and patients who are a little, nervous about it. So I think removing the white coat really, in a very, it's seemingly insignificant way, had a big impact on being able to come through a door and have a patient just look at you like you're a person who just happens to have a lot of knowledge about disease and treatment. And since I have believed, and as you know from our conversations in the past, that when you extend that hand to a patient and shake it, you're really saying, I'm going to be here for you wherever this journey takes us, either to cure or to end of life, whatever is involved. And I think that's been an important component in gaining their trust to be a part of their life and their family's life. And to your point, I mean, has this grown as I've grown? I would say yes. I would say there's probably, I think it's fair to say that I've learned something either about the world or life or myself from every single patient I've ever taken care of. It's like, it's a privilege to get to be a part of their life, not something that any of us should take for granted. That's my view.
You have a motto, it seems, that was started at the City of Hope. We come to work every day thinking cure. Once we've extended our hand and grabbed yours, we don't let go. And I think that is very telling. And I think it's also very telling that the relationship that I've had with you over the years is that you're very calm. You're easy to read. It makes me very comfortable when I'm around you. And I mean that sincerely.
Well, I appreciate your saying that. It means a lot. And, you know, when I hear that from patients, it conveys the same thing, that I feel like I'm doing the right thing. Look, you and I both know how much arrogance there is in the world, whether we're a baseball player or a physician or a politician. And I have a healthy scorn for that. I at the end of the day, we're all in this together. And I think we extend our hands to each other in different situations. And it's a place I'm comfortable being.
Well, you certainly are comfortable in it, and it shows. And, you know, the work that, that you continue to do at the City of Hope is absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure that everybody who's walked through the doors, and there have been many Dodgers, appreciate all the help that they've gotten, not only from you, but the City of Hope. And I do want to take the time here to take another break. We will be back with Dr. Stephen Forman right after this.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. And we're back with Dr. Stephen Former from the City of Hope. And Stephen, I wanted to ask you about another upcoming event here with the City of Hope. It's the 47th Annual Stem Cell Transplant Reunion. Tell us a little bit about what you got planned there.
So thank you. As you pointed out, we began doing transplants at City of Hope in 1976, so this will be our 47th anniversary. The way this started was literally with the first few patients, when they got to their 1 year after their transplant, we had a little birthday party for them because they saw it as a bit of their second birthday. So we would get together with them and their family and ourselves and have a cake and blow out a candle. And then as our numbers began to grow and people began surviving in greater numbers, we began doing this as a group, not individually. And each year, usually around Mother's Day, we would have a big reunion here on campus where we'd invite patients who had transplants who were still living to come with their families, sometimes their donors. And it's been a big party for them. It's very humbling to see all these people together at the same time. Now, the last 3 years or 4 years, we've not been able to do this in person. So we made a virtual reunion where we did video of individual patients, and we did entertainment. We had baseball themes. You know, we made fun of ourselves, but it was all in great fun. So the 47th one will be this year, and then our first in-person one will be number 48. Our next in-person one will be number 48, May 3rd of 2024, and we are really expecting thousands of people who will come back to campus with families to help celebrate, you know, a big event in their lives and, frankly, in our lives also. It's, you know, I've hosted this for a number of years, and you know, I give talks and lectures like we're supposed to do, but standing up there in front of all those people, it's tough to talk. You see it all there in front of you.
Yeah.
And it reminds us very clearly why we do this work.
Yes.
Because, you know, having people survive and get over their disease, whether it's transplant or anything else that we do, and go back to work, to their families, you know, we celebrate all occasions with them, whether it's, you know, graduations, weddings, bar mitzvahs, baptisms, right. Graduations, the meaningful things. And I used to say, and I think we've talked about this too, even watching them go back to just everyday things like going to a Dodger baseball game or some event that's important to them, regular life is an important accomplishment, and the reunion kind of symbolizes all of that. So we're pretty excited. The video is going to get released in mid-October, and then we'll start preparing for the in-person one for next year.
And I know you know how to throw parties, because I remember a gathering here, I don't know how many years ago it was, but I was not aware of the crowd that was going to be waiting for me when I got to this event. And it was absolutely fantastic. All the people were so nice, so grateful. We took an aerial view, if you remember, with all the balloons and everything that were going on. I think I still have a picture of that somewhere, but that was quite an event.
I think we were just grateful to you, Ron, as we have been to others who came and joined the event. But they've all said the same thing you did, that they didn't quite realize until they got there just what all was involved. And I can tell you that the patients to this day are grateful that, you know, somebody who's recognizable, whether it's an entertainer or an athlete, comes in and joins them for that part of the day. You may not remember, we always open it by our baseball player throwing a ball from the audience to me on the stage. And I've only missed it once over the years, but it's just part of the fun we have, together. So as I said, we were grateful then, and we're grateful every year for those people who join us to help our patients celebrate their courage and their trust.
And I remember years ago, too, coming out to the City of Hope when I believe you had Bobby Castillo out there.
Yes, Bobby Castillo, who taught, who allegedly taught Fernando his screwball, is what I've been told. I think Bobby and, of course, Mike Brito spent time with us, and his wife did. And, you know, these are, we make ourselves open to anybody who needs us. And as you pointed out over the years, it's been a privilege for us to help anybody in the Dodger family or even the greater LA sports entertainment community who they come, and we treat them with the respect that they've earned in their life as we would anybody else.
Well, it's a beautiful facility too, and I think that also helps with the comfort factor. And I have always been impressed with the demeanor of the staff. They're always friendly, helpful. There's no in-between on it. They're forthright, and they're going to give you the best that they've got. So I hope that continues. And, you know, I wanted to jump over here to a research area that you're involved with, T-Cell. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So most people, when they think about cancer care, think about surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. All of us know about that. But a number of years ago, a bunch of us around the United States in particular began working on whether we could teach the immune system of a person to react against the cancer that started in their body. And after a number of years of research work and laboratory work and clinical trials, that has turned out to be very successful for a number of diseases, particularly leukemia, lymphoma, and myeloma. But now we are looking at how we can use this for patients with pancreatic cancer and breast cancer and lung cancer, really to make immunotherapy the fourth component of cancer care. You know, they've been, there was a Nobel Prize given for some of the immunotherapy work, not that we did, but by colleagues of mine, for helping develop this as a field. And so what we do here now is we take cells out of the body, T cells, which are the immune cells that recognize generally viruses and infection. And we introduce genes into those cells that now recognize something on that person's cancer cell, grow them up in large numbers, and then put them back into the patient. And when it works, what you'll see is that the cancer begins to shrink, and in some patients go away. And that's because these T cells now can see something on the cancer that it didn't see before. And now it's armed to treat it like an unwelcome infection or guest and get rid of it. And so we have people who came to us really quite ill, with really not much else that could be done, who got this therapy, who are we're living regular lives now. And so once you see that happen for one person, you want it for lots of people. And I think in the same way we were one of the original transplant facilities in the United States, we were one of the original what's called CAR T-cell programs in the United States. And that's grown just as rapidly as the stem cell transplant. But every day people are coming for those therapies, and there are lots of trials here that are open utilizing that therapy. But it's magical to watch it happen. And, you know, once, as I said earlier, once you see it happen for one, you want it for all. And our challenge is not just to make it work for leukemia and lymphoma, but make it work for the other cancers that afflict the people that we know and love.
How long do these trials take, and how much of a success ratio do you have before you're ready to go with it? Or does it work that way?
Yeah. So the challenge is, as you would figure out pretty quickly, is to do something in someone, for someone, that's not been done before. Somebody's going to be that first patient or the first patient on that trial. And that's why when you and I were talking earlier about trust, I think that's a big component of it. I think when patients come here to go on a trial, they're trusting us that we've thought this through, that the FDA has looked at this, that somebody is looking over my shoulder and our group shoulder, make sure we're doing the right thing. in case there's problems. But what we want to see is that is how it works, and if it doesn't, why didn't it? And try to make it better. It's often said that people on clinical trials get better care, and I think the reason people say that is because there's so many more people involved in making sure that it's done correctly and interpreted correctly. But the idea is to develop a therapy that could be approved by the FDA, that could be used not just at City of Hope, but could be used all around the country or all around the world. And we have seen that happen. So that trust is so important. And to be certain that a patient never, ever feels as if they're being used or that they're a guinea pig, I really recoil strongly at that. And that's why what you said earlier about what you saw and how people get cared for, I think that's a big part of it, that they know if they come here for care, wherever the journey, whether it's standard care or investigational care, they're going to be treated the same whether it works or it doesn't.
Yes, I agree with that. But is there a kind of a time frame that this goes through a process of time and success before you're ready to, you know, really get this thing out there and going?
So one of the things that we talk about here is something called the tyranny of time. And what that refers to in part is how quickly can we go from an idea on the blackboard, as we used to say, to doing something directly for a patient. Sometimes it's something we've invented. Sometimes it's working with a company that comes with us with an idea that they had, and they want to open the trial here at City of Hope.
Stephen, so I want you to hold your thought right there. We have to take another short break, and we will return with Stephen Forman, Dr. Stephen Forman, right after this.
IBM will become the official global partner of UFC, the world's premier mixed martial arts organization. Together, IBM and UFC are pioneering a product to revolutionize analytics and information in live sports. This includes unique insights and advanced analysis of live bouts, fighter tendencies, projections of possible outcomes, and method of victory, all of which will be engineered to update in real-time on-screen data. This partnership marks a pivotal win, not only for UFC and IBM, but also for fans around the world who will experience the sport in a whole new way. Sponsored by IBM.
The season of savings is here at Office Depot Office Max. Shop amazing deals on everything you need to close out the year and start 2025 strong. Save now with new deals every day online and new weekly sales online and in stores every Sunday. The more deals, the merrier. Plus, save on those must-have gifts, essential supplies, organizational tools, desks, chairs, PCs, printers, and more. Add a personal touch to any present with Hallmark's iconic collection of greeting cards, ornaments, stationery, and gift wrap to create memorable moments. Available in your local Office Depot Office Max retail stores. Or create your own custom photo gifts, cards, and calendars for your teachers, coworkers, friends, and family. Then pack it and ship it all in one trip. Office Depot Office Max is your source for all the last-minute parties, presents, and thank yous you need. Tis the season to save. Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Ah, the holidays. A time to come together and reflect on what truly matters.
The KFC Festive Feast for $25.99.
Feel the joy
of 6 original recipe tenders and 6 pieces of hand-breaded chicken.
Family and friends celebrating.
2 large sides and 3 sauces.
The warmth of
11 herbs and spices.
Love. I was going to say love.
And KFC.
Okay, the KFC Festive Feast. Order ahead on the app and feast for just $25.99. Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tip, and fees extra. Online ordering available at participating locations.
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans.
And this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, a friend of the show, Mr. Sean Green. It was 2001 at Busch Stadium, and Mr. Green breaks the Dodgers record for homers in the season with his 44th home run, the first of his two dingers he hit off Dustin Hermanson in the team's 7-1 victory over the Vile Cardinals. Previously, Duke Snider and Gary Sheffield shared that previous mark.
Yeah, so congratulations, Sean Green. And Sean Green is a guy that in Dodger history is a little bit overlooked, too.
Absolutely.
He did a really terrific job in a short period of time, and these numbers solidify that.
And a heck of a great guy, too.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Okay, Dr. Steve, you're back on, and I want you to start up from where you were here on that.
So I got to say at least one word about Sean Green.
Okay.
So, as you know, he's the answer to an amazing trivia question. The only baseball player to hit 4 home runs in a game and have 6 hits in the same game. Nobody's done that. And also, Ron, he actually came out to the City of Hope and threw out a ball at a transplant reunion several years ago, probably the last one before the pandemic. So, like you, he's special in our place here at the City of Hope also.
I'm glad to hear that, because Sean is a special guy. And I think he's really a terrific individual, and he represents baseball and himself very well.
I think we feel
sure.
Exactly the same way.
Yeah.
So we were talking before about the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we... At City of Hope right now, when we, for instance, a company comes to us with a drug or a cell or something that they want to test, we review it with them. We see if it makes sense to us and do we have the people who could benefit from it. And we try to activate that trial within 90 days. So if we believe in it and want to open it and make it available, we have gotten that down from a year to activation to under 90 days. And I think because people are waiting. If they're unwell, waiting is the worst thing they have to do.
Agreed.
On things that we invent ourselves, it takes longer because the FDA is involved. But, you know, we push that pretty hard, too. Something that used to take 5 years, we've gotten down to a couple of years when it's starting, you know, from scratch like that. But that issue about time and, you know, I can tell you, we may have talked about this before, but one of the things that I've felt and seen is when we've done something that really, really worked well, that bordered on the miraculous, something we've never seen before in a person, we are jubilant and we are grateful and happy for ourselves and more importantly for the patient. But there's a bittersweetness to that because every time that happens, I can think of people I've taken care of over a long period of time who, had we known then what we know now, you know, might be alive. And so that's in part what drives wanting to go quickly, because the quicker we can be successful, the more people will be spared and their families spared the loss of a life that contributes to all of us. But it's just something I've noticed about myself. And when I've talked to my colleagues about it, they say the same thing. They remember, you know, a guy or a woman or a child or somebody who, boy, I wish we'd known then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or could do then what we do now, and they'd be with us.
Absolutely. Dr. Steve, most people probably who were born after 1990 don't have any recollection about the HIV crisis in the 80s and 70s, for that matter. Yeah. You know, hundreds of thousands of Americans were killed. Millions around the world succumbed to that disease. And now, you know, I think a lot of people, millennials especially, think that HIV infection is almost like a chronic disease where it can be treated with medication. But you guys over at City of Hope were the fifth cure in the world of a person with HIV. That was accomplished by you and your colleagues at the City of Hope utilizing stem cell transplant. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the evolution of the treatment of HIV and how that's changed over the course of your career?
So thank you for asking about that. What's interesting, I remember, I get a little chill as I even talk to you about this, but I remember where I was at City of Hope with a virology colleague of mine the day we heard about these four guys who were hospitalized at UCLA, all with the same infection, something you never see, which was really the first, this type of infection, who were the first patients really identified in LA with what was called acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And it really started a line of investigation to, all around the world to figure out what this was about. What we were working on once the virus was identified and therapies were being developed was it be possible to cure the disease by making cells that would be resistant to infection by the virus, and then to do a transplant to create a cure. And we've been working on this for a long time and making steady progress. But what happened was, what's happened is that there were people identified who had the HIV infection, but their immune cells were not being infected by the virus because they had a natural resistance gene. It's not a lot of people like this, but a few. So we figured, well, maybe we could introduce a mutation that would take that gene out and make it impossible to infect the cell with the HIV virus. And that's what we've worked on. But what you're referring to is we had a patient who had leukemia and who had HIV, and we identified a donor who was matched to the patient who happened to have the mutations for the HIV resistance. So we identified that as a preferred donor for the patient and did a transplant. And in this particular individual, who is now a number of years after transplant, he does not have leukemia and he no longer has HIV in his body. And he's off all the drugs that people who've had HIV infection need to take every day to prevent, like magic. And so it showed us that it'd be possible to engineer the immune system to be resistant to the virus and maybe make it possible for people who do have the virus to become uninfectable. And that journey has continued. But what you referred to, there are now 5 reported people in the world who've been cured of HIV. And we refer to it as the Duarte case or the City of Hope case. And he's one of them. And again, he's an example of when you see something successful, you want to keep working to make it more of a possibility for more people.
A fantastic accomplishment. Have you been involved with other miracles?
You know, I laugh in part because I still think, even after all these years, about every cure is a miracle, every cure is a gift. I think, you know, when we saw how CAR T cells work to take people who were literally going to hospice care and now who are living normal lives, I think those are some of the miracles that we see. We've seen some of the immune therapy, even in patients with very advanced solid tumors that have worked and who are living normal lives. And it just gives credence to the idea that there's surgery, there's radiation, there's chemo, and there's immunotherapy. And that's what patients want, and that's what we hope to deliver and expand. But, you know, when I see cancer go away, I still think of that as a miracle, no matter how we got there.
I agree.
Absolutely. Dr. Steve, if you could, you know, just to switch gears just briefly towards, you know, away from practice towards policy, if you could be king for a day and have unfettered power here, are there any changes you would like to make or see be made in the healthcare system in this country at large?
There is. Clearly access and being sure that people have access. But I think the three of us on this phone call and people listening recognize that there are people who have access to healthcare and trials and going to major medical centers, and those who are marginalized, who the underserved. And I think one of the big commitments that City of Hope and a lot of other places are making and being very loud about this is that the underserved deserve the same opportunities for miracles that those who have access to better healthcare have. And so I think as we do our trials, we are looking and making sure that there's the opportunity for somebody to come from South Central to us to get what we have to offer, or that their ethnicity does not, or their poverty status, their gender does not limit their access. I think that's the biggest impediment. When we go to meetings and we see a trial that's being presented where there were very few minorities on it, you know that people were left behind. And I think this idea that we leave no one behind because of the accident of birth or economics or healthcare access or employment is part of the democratization that we want to see in the healthcare system. That, for me, is the big challenge, not only in our own country, but around the world. What we want for one, we want for all.
Well said.
Very well said.
What is it that you're currently involved with today? What's taking most of your time today?
So my week is pretty much spent between seeing patients and taking care of them, and then doing research. And it's very much focused on the immune therapies that we talked about earlier and trying to extend it. Pancreatic cancer is a big project for me and my colleagues here and people I work with to bring cell therapy to those patients. That's a huge challenge. We've made a lot of progress in a lot of diseases, but diseases like pancreatic cancer, advanced prostate cancer, brain cancer, those are the ones. But right now I have a big focus on not only blood diseases, but also people with pancreatic cancer. And we have an idea, just like you asked about earlier, that we have, which we are hoping to treat our first patients with this therapy in the first part of 2024. So, you know, we're excited about it and hope to do for them what we've done for others.
Well, I'm so pleased that we've been able to get you to speak out about things that you have been doing, continue to do. The City of Hope has been an incredible place for many, many people. You've done absolutely great things for people, Dr. Steve, and this is why I wanted to bring the awareness to you and get this out there that City of Hope has been doing this kind of work for years and years and will continue to do so, and we're very thankful that we have people like you that are leading the way.
Absolutely, and if anybody's listening to this on podcast or on terrestrial stations around the country, Dr. Steve, if they want to, you know, help the City of Hope, what can they do? Where can they visit, perhaps donate?
Well, they can certainly go to the website, and hopefully it's easy to navigate. You know, they can write to me at City of Hope at sforman@coh.org. And sometimes I triage, you know, get the right person to the right doctor, whether it's here in Los Angeles or around the country. But, you know, we think of ourselves as a national resource to help get people to our colleagues in the right places for the right therapy. So I appreciate the pitch, the shout out, very, very much.
And, yeah, it's up to us to do our due diligence as well. When you have the City of Hope there, we want people to be aware of where they can get the best care. And I want to wish you the greatest success as we move forward, Dr. Steve. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to come and chat with us about all the great things that you're doing at the City of Hope. So thank you so much for joining us.
So you both are very welcome. It's an honor for me to be here. And I loved your book, okay?
Thanks so much. We'll be back right after this. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers. But the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Can't be just fine.
Hey, say, how you doing it?
One game at a time.
And welcome back. We'll see about that with the great Ron Say, the legend, World Series MVP. Make sure to check out his fantastic book, Penguin Power. It's available on his website. TheRonSayShow.com, also available in fine bookstores. But check that website out. You can get yourself a nice signed copy. Make sure to follow Ron on Instagram as well. I just want to mention something briefly about some of the passing of somebody that I think didn't get his due. This is just, if whatever you watch on TV, sports, movies, whatnot, Charles Dolan was behind that. He passed away at the age of 98. He was the founder of Cablevision. He was also part of the Cablevision systems and also Cap Cities. Cap Cities, of course, known for starting, being instrumental in ESPN. He was instrumental in the way that TV has been watched, the pay TV model. Without that, you would not have HBO. You would not have ESPN. You would not have Fox Sports. He was quite an interesting businessman, an amazing legacy. Founded HBO in 1972, founding Cablevision in 73, also AMC in 84. He was a kind of behind the scenes guy, also involved in the Madison Square Garden Corporation. But if you ever, you know, really want to know how we got here, you know, with we're in kind of a industries in flux with cable, we're seeing streaming, we're seeing over the air, all that. But Mr. Dolan was a true visionary when it came to how home entertainment would move forward in the 20th century and beyond. He passed away, survived by his 6 children, 19 grandchildren, and 5 great grandchildren. So all his the best to the Dolan family. All right, wrapping things up, Corey. We are looking forward to the new year, 2025. Unbelievable. We got about a minute before we hit the break. Any New Year's sports resolutions? Are you going to try to get into any different sports? Are you going to follow a little more sports? Are you going to quit gambling? What's going on?
You have to start gambling to quit gambling. So that one I don't have to worry about. I'm a little bit late, but I want to start doing the F1 kick with you guys. So I have some idea what you guys are talking about.
Start watching the go back and rewatch the Drive to Survive series on Netflix, and you'll get all caught up. And speaking of F1, thank you for bringing that up, Corey. We have the first year of Lewis Hamilton driving for Ferrari. Ooh. And that should be quite interesting. He seems like his head wasn't in the game at Mercedes. He was complaining constantly about the car, and his new teammate, George Russell, seems to be overtaking him. Maybe a little jealousy in the paddock. So very interesting to see what the Formula One is moving forward. So, Corey, thank you very much.
Thank you, as always.
And thanks to you, everybody, to listening, and Happy New Year. And we'll see you guys next week. And we'll see about that.